When someone asks who you are, you probably start with the cold, hard facts. If I was posed with this question, depending upon who was asking, I would answer something like, "My name is Eric Rank. I'm a pastor for the Church of the Eternal God. I'm 23 years married to my wife, Shanna. I'm the father of 4 boys who each delight me in their own individual ways. I'm a program manager by trade. I was born in Wisconsin. I'm a Packer fan. I always will be. And I will always consider Wisconsin home, even though I happily reside here in Colorado, one of the most beautiful places on the planet. I enjoy working with my hands. I enjoy riding my bike, dad jokes, and long walks on the beach. These are the facts of my life. Objective, plain, simple. These facts are the basics of my identity. It describes who I am objectively. But that question, who are you, takes on a different meaning when somebody asks who knows all of those things about you already. If I had answered that and somebody was listening and they might say, "Yeah, I know all that, but who are you really?" When asked this way, the statistics of your life are insufficient to give a complete answer. Our identity goes much deeper than the measurable statistics that someone can observe. Who are you? Who am I? Our identity also consists not just of statistics, but of what we believe and how true our behaviors are to what we believe. Those two things, our beliefs and our behaviors, factor into our identity. If I say that I'm a builder who values creative expression, but I don't spend any of my time actually building anything, I might get really uncomfortable if you ask who I am and I say that I'm a builder. I might believe that I'm a builder, or I have that belief, but do the facts contradict that belief? Am I actually building anything? Am I trying to build anything? Well, the facts shouldn't contradict my beliefs if my identity is to be strong and sound. People exemplify a strong, sound identity when their behavior is consistent with their beliefs. Identity becomes stronger as clarity and precision of our beliefs increases. The more detailed our beliefs are, the easier it is to differentiate ourselves from others, the more unique we become. When people have common beliefs, which, you know, you and I here share common beliefs in the Church of God, we have a common basis for our identity. We are Christians together. That is one layer of our identity. And it brings us together. It's important to have that shared identity through our common beliefs. Yet we are all unique, aren't we, in our desires and ambitions. We each have our own special individual way of seeing the world and operating in it. These are the things that influence our decisions, our uniqueness, and that our identity becomes stronger, the stronger and clearer that our beliefs are. It's not enough to have strong beliefs, though. Identity should also be sound, in the sense that there should be evidence that one works to live by their beliefs. I will say that there's a disturbing amount of tolerance of identity that is not sound in our society right now. Facts that have the real power to validate our beliefs have been replaced with feelings, haven't they? This means that if somebody believes they're a dog and feels like they're a dog, our society treats that as identity. But this is not a sound identity, because the facts do not back it up. Human beings are not dogs, nor can they try to be. The soundness of identity requires belief being consistent with fact. The reason that this is important is that God holds us to a standard of a strong, sound identity as Christians. If we answer the question, who are you really, by saying that we are Christians, are we able to explain the beliefs that we have in detail? Are we able to prove those beliefs by our actions? Let's take a look at the perfect example of one who had the strong, sound identity. This is Jesus Christ, of course. If you turn over to John 10, I'll read verses 34 through 38. Jesus Christ knew exactly who he was. John 10, beginning in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." We can see the elements of a strong, sound identity present here. Jesus Christ believed that he was the Son of God, and he went even further. He said, "Don't believe me for the words that I say. Look at what I'm doing." He's the perfect example that we have to follow. He knew exactly who he was in great detail. He believed in his purpose. He knew why he was there on this planet. He was here to sacrifice his life for the lives of all men and women. That was a belief that he held, and that is something that he backed up with his actions, the way he lived. Everything that he worked to do was consistent with his beliefs. He had that strong, sound identity. Let's take a look at another example. Turn with me to Matthew 16, and I'll read verses 21 through 23. Here we see Jesus Christ and Peter having an interaction. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" I don't think anyone can accuse Peter of having a weak sense of conviction. Here we see this exemplified. His beliefs were very strong. He was a vocal supporter of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ was here to do, but he did not fully understand what it meant to support Jesus. In this example, we can see him expressing his strong support for Jesus Christ. He's saying, "You cannot be harmed. You have a work to do. I will do what it takes." He doesn't go that far, but we can see where he's going with this. He wants Jesus Christ to do the work that Peter thought he needed to do, not what Jesus Christ knew he had to do. Throughout the stories in the Bible, what I see in Peter is a bold support of the mission of Jesus Christ's ministry. He's willing to do whatever it takes. We see him fighting. We see him lying. Whatever it is to do that he thinks will serve Jesus Christ. But those are misguided things. Peter did not understand how to fulfill this belief the way that it needed to be fulfilled. He didn't understand how to support Jesus in the way that Jesus Christ knew his mission needed to be fulfilled. In thinking with the mind of men about how to fulfill Jesus Christ's purpose, he behaved in a way that was inconsistent with his beliefs. His identity was strong, but in this instance, it was not sound. But he was learning. Brethren, we all learn. He was trying. We all try. If we want to have a sound identity, we need to try and learn. We will stumble. There is no question about that, but we have to get back up. These words that Jesus Christ said to him, "Get behind me, Satan," were his way of saying, like, you do not know who you really are being right now in this instance. It was a warning that Jesus Christ uttered to Peter to try and help him get back on track. Going to Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. We need to see ourselves for who we really are. It takes an honesty. It requires overcoming any self-deception, which is very difficult, as we can see as an example here. Luke 18, beginning in verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The Pharisee thought that he was righteous for his behaviors, outwardly. But he had an incomplete view of who he was. He deceived himself, thinking that his quote-unquote righteous behaviors were enough. But they weren't. He didn't see himself as he ought to have seen himself. He was not seeing his flaws. His identity was not sound because the facts didn't really back up his beliefs. But what about the tax collector's identity? His beliefs were strong in that he knew the standard by which God measures righteousness. He knew what he had to live up to, and he knew that he didn't measure up. Even though he didn't measure up, he didn't, the point in having a strong, sound identity, that soundness does not require perfection. It requires putting effort into trying to fulfill our beliefs. And that is exactly what this tax collector expresses. We must be honest with ourselves as this tax collector was in order to fulfill our beliefs. If we believe we are Christians, we work to continually improve our lives, trying to find the ways that we might be off track, understanding ways that we can transform ourselves to live by those beliefs. Reading from James 2, beginning in verse 18, but someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." If identity consists of what we believe and what we do, faith acts as a bridge between those two things. Faith is an outward way of proving that we believe what we do. We engage our faith to prove our actions from what we believe. We trust that the instructions that we have from God will lead us to the best possible life that we can live. We can't just say these things. We can't just say that I'm a Christian and not follow through in doing them. We have to live by them if we want our identity to be strong and sound. It takes effort. This is a call of action to examine ourselves, to make it personal. What do you believe? What do you value? Are you convicted of it? Knowing the foundation of our identity, do the facts of your life prove that you are who you believe you are? Knowing that we are not perfect, we will have some gaps where we fall short. Having a sound identity doesn't require us to be perfect, but it does require honesty within ourselves. A strong, sound identity will empower you to be confident in living out God's purpose for you.